Hi, this is a Life of Learning podcast. We hope you enjoy this episode. Hi, ladies.
Hello.
Hi,
Red.
Hi, Red.
Right. The band is back again. I say this every time, but the band is back reunited for another podcast. Yay! Right, we have Charmaine. Hi, Charmaine.
Hi there.
Hi, Bissy.
Hiya. Hi.
Right, we're still waiting for Tracy, but we said we're going to start because Tracy's normally always late. She's in the States, so we'll let her come in when she comes in. So, but we're going to start now. Today's subject is going to be fashion, and we're probably going to talk about hair in that as well. And obviously, that's a big subject in itself. But I thought let's have fashion, and if we get onto hair and talk about hair as well, then so be it. Right. So the first question or the first topic that I want to discuss is what does fashion mean to you, and what interests you the most in terms of fashion? The clothes, the hair, the cosmetics, footwear, accessories, and how has it influenced your life? So I'll tell you what, Charmaine, you can start.
Oh, wow. Okay. What does fashion mean to me? Yeah. So that's kind of, yes, that isn't just historical, is it?
Yeah.
I think fashion tends to mean to me something that my mum said to me as I was growing up. And, as you're growing up, you really want the latest things, don't you? You're in a hurry to buy the latest fashionable thing if you can. But you're dependent on your parents to be able to afford to buy it for you. Mm-hmm. But one thing my mum always said to me, and my younger sister finally got it after many years, she said, always try to buy things that are classic. Okay, try not always buy things which are always in fashion, or try not to always keep up with fashion, because fashion comes and goes. If you've got something in your wardrobe which is classic, when she says classic, which you can wear at any time, and it doesn't look it doesn't look old-fashioned. It just looks really nice, which as we've all got older, we all understand what that means. When you're much younger, some of it doesn't always quite make sense, late teens-ish, do you know what I mean? But as you get into your 20s, mid-20s and 30s upwards, you kind of understand what that means. So that's what she always said to me. And over the years, I've really come to appreciate it, so that now it's second nature and has been for a long time. Mm-hmm. And so what it means for me is buying something which I just really like, and then what I tend, which does tend to be timeless, as it were. It's not necessarily always in fashion. Sometimes it is, but then I might mix and match it with something that is in fashion. Do you know what I mean? So I'll mix and match my clothes, as it were. So you buy something that's timeless, as it were. You can wear it any time, as well as something that's fashionable at that time. So that's how I tend to do that. On the makeup front, Bissy will attest to me. I'm not a great makeup person. Do you know what I mean? I prefer to be as natural as possible. That's not to say I don't ever wear makeup. I do wear a bit every, I do wear a bit of stuff, blusher maybe every day, and lipstick very occasionally, but I'm not a great makeup person. I'm not really into foundation. I really don't like the concept of it. That's just me, but I can understand, it might be that I'm blessed with good skin.
Which you are.
So I can yes. I can afford to not have foundation. And I can also understand, if you're not blessed with good skin, that maybe as a woman, having foundation as that second skin just smooths things out. So I wouldn't say never for everybody, but it's not for me. So I wear minimal makeup, generally speaking, and only really when I go out. But blush is the most I wear every day. That's it. Mm-hmm. So that's fashion kind of, I'll pause there to hear from other people, and then we'll kind of we can talk about different items of fashion mm-hmm. we might have found fashionable over the years and what we still use, but it'd be interesting to hear from other people.
Okay.
Go on, Biss.
So the question is what it means to me. Is that what it is? Sorry?
Yeah.
So
and how it's influenced your life.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll just following on for what Charmaine said. I don't actually remember my mum saying, and then she said something to us when we were growing up about classic clothes, because she is very classic in the way she dresses, and I've always admired that. And also my dad was very classic as well, as they were then anyway. So, you know, coming here in the 60s, they all kind of look very, very classic and always very well dressed. So that's what I've always taken. I would say from an early age, we were all dressed the same, which I didn't like, three girls dressed the same. So there was none of that individuality. But as I got older, regardless of what was in fashion, I always went for the simplistic kind of classical look, which I haven't really changed. It's kind of transcended time. I look back on stuff that I wore when I was like 21 and there's not much of a difference, probably because I'm quite boring, but I'm not a fussy person. I'm not one for too much noise. I like things to be plain and simple. I'll add little things, as Charmaine said, but I just like the classic kind of look, mixing it with other things, but not, you know, I see clothes as like kind of like an, and it's, this is going to sound really kind of St. Martin's artified stuff, but I like sort of investment pieces. So I know that when I buy something, you know, someone says that's really nice, I'll say, well, it's about 20 years old. And it usually is. So that's me when it comes to fashion. What it means, fashion means for me really is, just looking okay. I like to coordinate. I'm slightly OCD with the coordination. You know, so, you know, if I've got green on, I'll have another bit of green somewhere else. And that's just me. But I like to feel comfortable and I like clothes. I do like clothes, but they have to be classic. And like I say, not much has changed. With regards to makeup, interesting one. Charmaine's right. She doesn't need it. She's got great skin. When I was very young, I think I had really good skin. And then I went through a period of not having particularly, I don't think, good skin. I got into fashion fair, and I think every black woman knew what fashion fair was. You'd have to go all the way to Selfridges or DH Evans to get the makeup, and it was this thick stuff that you put on, and that would kind of cover up quite a few sins, or at least on my face. And then I stopped wearing that altogether in my early 20s. But the one thing that I have always worn from since I can remember was something on my lips. So it'd either be Vaseline, then it went to lip gloss, and then it went to lipstick. Love it. That's all I wear. I don't wear anything else, just lipstick and occasionally lip liner. But I love lipstick. I absolutely love it. That is who I am, definitely. Talk about Magenta Divine, Bissy Thomas, and a lipstick. Mm-hmm. Yeah, love it. Yeah, or lip gloss as well. That's me pretty much. Yeah.
I was going to come back to you, Charmaine. You said that you never used to put makeup on. Isn't that when you were young, you know, back in your teenage and early and 20s as well? Even from then, you'd never used to wear makeup.
I think I think if I'm going to say what I would normally do, it's usually one thing. So I guess late teens until I got to uni, maybe first or second year, late teens, so when I left school, and then, you know, the first or second year of uni, I would have worn eyeliner.
Mm-hmm.
Kohl, you know, K-O-H-L. But then I abandoned that after, when I went through my feminist phase in my early 20s. I abandoned all of that and didn't wear any makeup really for mm-hmm. ages, and then started wearing a bit of blusher and then lipstick going out. And that is an occasional mascara when I go out, but not every day.
Mm-hmm. I tell you what, one thing as well, I was thinking, high heels. Me, they just look really uncomfortable to walk in. Obviously, I think, the way they portray women in high heels, it's meant to look nice and stuff. What about you ladies with high heels? Was that something that you ever wore even when you were younger or not?
Going out, obviously, or maybe only working. Okay. Always low heels for me. I never ever liked high heels ever. Mm-hmm.
So was that because of the comfort, or is it just dangerous? Comfort. Just the heart of walking comfort.
Yeah, comfort. They're not comfortable. You're right, Reggie. They're not comfortable. They're distinctly uncomfortable. As my friend always said, if you ever get attacked and you had to run, how can you run in those shoes? Come on. So therein lies a lesson. I've always worn flats. I don't care how short I am. I've always worn flats, really. And it's only if I ever go out. And it's only a little bit of a heel when I go out. Mm. Really. I'm not saying I didn't experiment a bit, but it was always when I went out with them. And, you know, when you're like sort of 12 or something, and those platforms came in, that might have been to go to church, but that's it.
But on that, I mean, I'm sure our parents wore high heels most of the time if they were going to church or weddings and stuff like that, from what I can remember. Well, obviously mums.
I don't know if my mum might have worn stilettos. She didn't wear high heels. I think it was stilettos. Do yours?
Okay.
Did she wear stilettos?
Mummy had I think she's still got them, but stilettos for Mr. Henry and Derbo and the gorgeous. I mean, we used to dress up in them when she went out. She had the most, and because that's all, my mum and dad always went out, so they were always getting dressed up to go to these amazing places. But she used to wear beautiful stilettos. I never knew how she walked in them. I started wearing high heels when I was about sort of in my late teens, early 20s, and I still like wearing heels, actually. I do like a heel. I find that it makes me walk better, to be quite honest. I think it's great for my posture, because I tend to, and some of them are quite comfortable, some of them are, but I do like my heels. I don't wear them all the time, but I like flats as well. I used to work in a shoe shop, Mansfield, which was the British Shoe Corporation, like Saxone, Mansfield, Lillian Skinner, and that's when brogues came in and loafers, and I used to love, and I still do, the very same loafers I wore then, I wear now. So but yeah, I like high heels. Yeah. Don't wear them as often, but I do like them.
Okay. So for me, fashion, I've never been a really fashionable person. Even when I used to go out partying, I used to have probably about 3 black shirts that I just used to rotate. maybe 2 or 3 pairs of trousers. I was never really into fashion. The only sort of like fashion statement that I probably made when I was in my teenage years was, I don't know if you remember the soul belts, where they used to, obviously you had the belt wrapped around and then you sort of like let it sort of like hang down. I don't know if you remember them, they were soul belts. That was probably the most fashionable thing I probably did. We just couldn't afford anything new. We just didn't have the money. But I think the most fashion statement I probably had was when I was about 18, 19, and we're coming onto hair now, was when I had a wet look. Yes. That was probably the biggest statement I probably had. Yeah. And I probably had a wet look along with my brothers. We probably had it for maybe about 2 years, 3 years. We had a wet look. And when I look back at that, I think, wow, why did I do it? Because it was just such a palaver. It really was. Sitting in the hairdressers for, well, it wasn't even 1 or 2 hours. It was near enough all day. And then you had to get the products to make the products. That was expensive. And then when you go to bed, you had to have a shower cap to stop it from when I look back at it, I thought, wow, why did I do it? But I don't know, at the time that was probably when, in terms for guys anyway, it was the guys either the hair was a big afro or a fairly smallish afro. Very few men had the hair sort of like crop short, bald. That was very rare. So it was either those things. It was either afro, wet look, or an afro, or it was cut sort of like, you know, short trim. That was it. Those are the three things. So that was sort of probably the most fashionable thing that I ever did. I probably did buy some clothes at the time, but nothing, no make brands or anything like that. So yeah, that was me.
Yeah, the wet look's taking me back, because I had a wet look as well.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I had a wet look. I think when I was at uni, I had a wet look. But it's not great for your hair if you don't kind of treat it, you know, if you don't kind of look after it, it does break. And in the end, in fact, yeah, I think what that's right. I, at 18, I had my hair cut short,
mm-hmm.
really short.
Okay.
You know, like
guys short, that kind mm-hmm. of short, you know, mm-hmm. guys at school,
yeah
that mm-hmm. short. And then that was superseded by the wet look, but to be honest, looking back at the wet look, I know it was a palaver and everything, but politically I know the chemicals is not great, but if you look at what the wet look tried to emulate, I actually think it's a lot healthier than, I think it's a lot healthier than women's fashion now, to be honest. I think, you know, well, it's a form of Afro, isn't it?
Mm.
It's a form of Afro.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it's one step on from the Afro, which, you know, Reg, you touched on the Afro. But let's mm-hmm. face it, I mean, I was out with Bissy, you know, well over a year ago, 18 months ago, and we were looking at this photograph, and it was a photograph in the 70s, and you could date it that it was in the 70s.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the people, it was black and white, a lot of the people in the photos had afros of varying lengths.
Mm-hmm.
And that was all part of Black is Beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It was a really healthy, you know, wonderful way of celebrating our hair mm-hmm. in its natural beauty. And okay, it wasn't great that wet look required so many chemicals, but it was also a way of celebrating the Afro-ness of our hair, mm-hmm. wasn't it? You know, it was in ringlets, but it was celebrating the African you know, of our hair, which I really like. I think we have moved, well, certainly as far as women's fashion, as far as hair is concerned, miles and miles away from that, too far, to the point where it's, don't get me started.
You've got me thinking, actually, Charmaine.
Mm.
I was going to say I was a victim of the wet look now, but I can't say that now after what you've said, because I'm seeing it now in a different way. But I was the only one out of the three of us to have a wet look. I don't know why that was, but anyway, I have the wet look and I was probably about 13, 14. Tracy will remember that when she comes in. And it was a big deal. I remember going to get it done with my auntie. West Indian place in Piccadilly, in the arcade bit. And all I remember, I wasn't told anything other than spray the stay soft row, and then just pick it. And that's all. I never combed it in about 10 months. So all you had was this dripping, and it did just drip onto my uniform.
My dad
used to get really annoyed. God knows what chemical that was. I hear what you're saying, but the chemicals, I don't know what that did to my skin. I think that's probably was the beginning of going through a difficult time in my skin, but there was this sense of pride about having this, because it became known as, you could only be a bad person to have the wet look, really, to be quite honest. Michael Jackson had it, and then it was a big deal. And I'm thinking about it now, it was a really, really big deal, and it made me feel great. I mean, I don't think particularly great, but at the time, I obviously felt, but when I look back now, it was a big statement, actually, because all it was an extension of our hair, you know, with the Stay Soft Fro and the TCB, I think it was.
Just,
you know, and then picking it. And it did actually make my hair grow. There was always a lot of growth there. yes, you're right in terms of, like, you know, having it done, it took about 2 weeks or whatever. You know, Aquarius in Finsbury Park. I don't know if it's still around. But yeah, it was a big deal. It was a big deal. And I think it kept us going from about sort of 1981 to, like, people were still having it done up until the 90s, I think.
Yeah.
10 years.
Yeah, Charmaine, I tell you what, that's a really good point now. I mean, I came up with a lot of sort of like negative, just remembering what I had to do to keep this hair going.
But
Bissy, you said was it did make me feel good.
Yeah.
It really, really did. Yeah. You know, you'd go out there, you know, and it did feel good. I mean, I remember actually combing it. I remember actually sort of like combing it. And not leaving it. It did take a long lot to maintain, yeah. But I suppose that's the price you have to pay for. And it did make you feel good, and I think it gave you a lot of confidence, and you did feel that you were part of you're part of your culture, because it was a cultural thing. I suppose that's the word I'm looking for. A cultural thing.
Because don't forget, we'd come out of the 70s where, you know, everything was about long hair, and then you had even, you know, you think about, you know, Greece, for example, you had, like, you know, Danny Zuko with his quiff. Black guys couldn't relate to that.
Yeah.
But this was something that, you know, we all kind of were united with. But it was, as Charmaine said, and I've never really thought about it in this political sense, it was an extension of ourselves, you know what I mean? And I think that's really, really important, because it did made me feel fabulous.
Yeah.
I've still got photos, feel fabulous, even though it was a, no, it was a palaver, but when you look back now, it was a big deal.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
there was never anything like it. I don't remember.
Yeah,
apart from the hot comb, the hot comb and you know, lots of different chemicals. That was all we had, really.
Yeah.
That period. So thanks for that, Charmaine. I'm gonna.
That was interesting. I never thought we'd go there with that because. Okay, cool. Okay, so that's my sort of like foray into sort of like being fashionable was, you know, was getting a wet look. And you're right, I think it was probably Michael Jackson that probably spurred that on, I would have thought, wasn't it? You know, obviously, I don't know, were we trying to be like Michael Jackson? But we had someone that we identified and we could actually follow. Whereas I suppose back in the day, like you said, I don't know, maybe Elvis or whoever was big at the time, Black people couldn't really follow or that identify. Hairstyle.
No.
So, yeah, you're right. It was a big deal.
It was, yeah. I'll take that.
Okay, so I'll tell you what, we're going to wait for, let's not wait for Tracy. Let's get on to the next subject that we said. Now, I said that we're going to do something slightly different. Was going to be a topic that you wanted to bring up that, you know, we could discuss. It could be about anything. And I was just wondering where we can start with that. So go on, Bissy. Do you have anything any sort of like burning issue that you want to bring up in terms of fashion, hair, whatever that you want to bring up?
Not so much. All I can bring up really is the sort of transition from being early teens to mid-teens. There was a period that you were either a soul girl or a reggae girl, and I remember that really well. And there was a specific way of dressing. So I was about 13-14, and the soul way of dressing, from my recollections, was you wore like pleated skirts that you'd either get from C&A if you didn't have so much money, and then Marks and Spencer's if you did. And then you would wear it on with a cardigan, matching cardigan, and then you'd have patent shoes, no tights. And then that would be coupled with a, you know, in our case, it was a fake Burberry from Queen's Crescent Market. And then it was, so that was you either, if you dressed like that, you were either a soul girl, or I can't remember which one it was, but more so soulish. But it was still a very classic look. So you had the cardigan, and then you had the skirt, and then you had a rope chain. You'd have jewelry as well, a rope chain, and then you would and you have a smart coat, and that's how you would literally go to school, and that's how you would dress at the weekends as well. And I just remember, I took up about 2 years, 2-3 years of my life looking in, you know, this perfect way with the wet look as well. And then, you know, there was music combined into that. But yeah, that was part of a period in my life that I quite liked, actually. It was a very smart period. Yeah.
Okay. So, because I know you love your lovers as well. So did you transition from being a soul girl to
I was more so a reggae girl from the age of, probably 11, 10, 11 till now, really. But I always liked my soul as well, like both. Okay. But I would say that I was more so into sort of David Bodigan than Greg Edwards.
Yeah.
And that was all, it was all part of that for me, really. Yeah. There was a, yeah, it was almost like, because, you know, like at that point you had like the, you had the new romantics and all of that. So, but you know, in well, I think not just North, all over London, you had like soul and reggae, yeah. And then you had the fashion that went with that. Guys would wear kabiches and girls would wear kabiches and Farahs and that sort of thing. But yeah, ours was always kind of like this kind of look of, you know, smart socks, smart skirt, and patent shoes. Shoes had to be patent. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I remember that really well. And everybody looked the same.
Yeah. What was the reggae look then?
The reggae look was more leather jacket. So you had like the reggae girls would have like a black leather jacket. I do recall that. Jackets that would look amazing now. And they would actually have like scarves on too. So a lot of the girls in and around Camden would have like kind of like scarves on for some reason. From what I can remember. I could be wrong, could be common saying that I'm wrong, but that's what I remember. There was very much, very little in between them. There were just little things that kind of you could tell.
Charmaine, anything on anything to add on that in terms of the how it related to music as well, I suppose?
My clothes wouldn't have related to music.
Okay.
So I didn't get into the, I was completely outside of the soul and reggae divide, really.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In the sense of, you know, dressing in a particular way to represent one, I didn't get involved in any of that. But what I don't know if I've got a burning issue, I suppose, but what I would say really is it's not a burning issue, but I suppose quite early on, and I was just talking to my son Io about it as well, that I've over the years realised that if I really like something, just buy two of them at least. If you really like something, just buy two.
You do that all the time.
You know, at the very least, because it's becoming more and more apparent to me that things in shops are very transient. I keep thinking it's going to be there next year. I bought it this year. It's going to be there next year. And I'm always surprised when it isn't. So I was talking to my son about the fact that I've got two skirts. I remember I bought them just as it was one of my first jobs as a social worker. And there was a shop across the road from me. And I went in there not long after I started working, and I thought, "Ooh, I really like these skirts. This skirt is really nice." So I bought one in you know, a red and a blue. And I didn't I just thought, let me just buy the two straight away. And I don't remember that I started doing that early, but I must have done. And it's since transpired that those skirts are still with me, you know, nearly 40 years later.
Wow. Wow.
And more importantly, which I don't think, even though I love wool, I absolutely love woolen stuff. I'll come back to that in a minute. But they're both pure new wool skirts as well. So I don't know how much I paid for them, but I didn't care. I was going to just buy them there and then. And it served me well, that thing about if you like it, just buy the two, buy two at the same time, because you never know when it's going to, you know, when it's going to run out. So that's one of the things that has stood me in good stead over the years. And then the second thing that I've got just more and more, it's ridiculous. You should see my my chest of drawers, one of them anyway. It's just covered with jewellery, boxes of jewellery. I just love jewellery. I absolutely, and I spend time mixing and matching my jewellery. So, you know, the earrings, when I'm going to work, the earrings usually need to match with the necklace and vice versa. I am obsessive about it. And that is what, you know, and now, even though I really don't need to buy any more clothes, and I try not to buy any more clothes if I can possibly help it, I will always have a sneak look at, you know, the jewellery, even the jewellery in the secondhand shop. I will, you know, I will always it's really nice. And I've got somebody round the corner, and so that was fatal. But anyway, I found somebody round the corner from me who repairs jewellery.
Oh, wow.
He sells jewellery, and that's how I first met her. She was actually selling jewellery, but I happened to just say to her, well, actually, I've got a couple of pieces that are broken. She said, oh, well, I can repair them for you. So she is my go-to if I break anything. You know, she's wonderful. She's really, really good. So I go to her, and she makes stuff up for me as well. So if I've lost one earring and I might have the basics for another, She'll make up the other earring for me. So that's my thing at the moment, jewellery. I would love to learn how to make jewellery. I don't have the patience at the moment, but that's one of the things I would love to learn to make, jewellery. I would love to make. Well, one of the many things I would love to learn to make. I'd love to sew. I'd love to make my own clothes.
Mm. Yeah.
Because there's lots of pieces that I would love to just make myself. But the thought, I don't have the patience. So the thought of sitting down, cutting out the pattern, then coming back to the pattern the next day to actually, no, I just don't have the patience for it. But I would love to be able to make my own clothes.
Mm.
Oh, love it. Yeah. I'd love to be creative. I was just saying to Io, you know, do you remember Susan Bissy? There's one of my friends' daughter-in-law. She's just so creative. She puts her hands.
Oh, yes, I do.
She makes clothes. She upholsters furniture. She is just so incredibly creative. I love some of that. And she makes jewellery as well.
I remember Susan.
Yeah,
Susan. Yeah,
yeah, she's really talented.
Yeah, I remember Susan.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, you're
hi, Trace. Yeah, I'd like to bring Tracy in.
Sorry.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello.
Right, we're going to get you right in now.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, how are you? You good?
Good. Yes, sorry. Running late as usual. Yes, sorry.
No problem.
No worries.
Right, so we've spoken about a lot of things already. High heels, stilettos, the wet look, soul girls versus reggae girls. So we've spoken about a lot of things. So what's your sort of like area of fashion that interests you, and you know, how has it influenced your life? So that was the main question that we
Well, gee, I was never a fashionista, as they call them these days. You know, I grew up playing sports, so it was just, you know, as we call them, trainers and I guess just sports apparel. We wore uniform to school, so that kind of and we did have our styles, right? This, we had our pleated skirts, and we had certain blouses that we would wear based on the colors of the school, gray and purple, I think it was. But outside of that, just even as an adult, I'm still I think I maybe own two dresses. Was never into dresses and skirts, always a pants person or trousers person. Now that I don't work in an office, I'm working from home. So it's very different, because, you know, I'd be out kind of seeing what sales are and picking up clothing for work. I like clothes. I worked with a friend who was originally from Haiti, and she was into really bright colors, and I'm like dark blues and beiges and browns, and she would put in my head when I was shopping, look for color, look for color. So whenever I'm at the stores, I would be, you know, thinking Marjorie, look for, you know, yellows and reds. And yeah. But basically, I am a very basic person, jeans and t-shirt, and I'm good. You know, sandals, living in Miami, you know, we have hot weather for the most part. So it's flip-flops and just different open-toed sandals over the years. No boots and stuff like that, that I kind of grew up with. Right now I'm in North Carolina and it's been freezing cold. So I've had to dig out all the jumpers and stuff that I have, which is nice. I miss the four seasons. So I miss jackets and stuff like that. But I'm very simple when it comes to clothing. I'm not really into, and I like how Charmaine was talking about jewelry, because growing up, I liked my jewelry. We had the Belchers and the rope chains and all that. And and I liked gold growing up, and my dad always liked silver. And it's funny because over the years now, I've turned to loving silver. You know, when I was over, I went to the Camden Lock and I picked up some silver rings, and I really like silver. I love hoops as far as earrings go. Oh, yeah. So I'm always out looking for hoop earrings. But I don't have as much as Charmaine. She made me laugh with that. I just test the drawers full of. I'm not quite there yet. When I grow up, maybe I'll.
I grow up.
But yeah, that's me. I'm quite simple.
Yeah, you mentioned about you used to play a lot of sport. I mean, just within sport, there's a whole load of fashion there. I mean, there I just is. Remember wearing those. Adidas tracksuits with the stripes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there was a fashion, you know, even when you did sports. So
you're right. I liked we call it Nike here. I don't, is it Nike there? I don't know how you
yeah, still Nike. Yeah, Nike.
It is Nike. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, Nike was big. I grew up playing tennis. We played netball and hockey. So yeah, it was always about the trainers. And but again, because we went to a school with uniform, we had to wear the PE stuff that you wore there.
Yeah.
But yeah, always like the jackets. You know, even my daughter's into a lot of the Adidas, Adidas, I think. I don't know. However we say it. But that almost like they come and go. There was Fila. I'm trying to remember. Good Lord. It's been a while. Slazenger. Pony. I remember Pony had just a lot of different styles over the years. So yeah. And I think that still stays. I don't think sports apparel really goes out of style. I think that kind of stays for the most part.
I think obviously when Michael Jordan was around and the Nike thing came around, that blew up in terms of trainers. I mean, you know, there's a whole, not even subculture, there's a whole culture just on trainers alone.
Yeah, you know? And the cost is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But
the cost is ridiculous.
Because my daughter was buying, my grandson, before he was born, she was buying these little, I mean, they're cute as can be, but you know, and she was like, oh, mom, I can resell them. And I said, he's not going to wear them. She said, that's the point. You know, he's not going to wear them, and I'll be able to put them up for sale, and they'll be worth this and the other. And I don't know how many boxes of sneakers he has. But it's a trend for sure.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Okay. And in terms of, so really fashion, it didn't really influence your life as much as probably everyone else on the call.
Right. Yeah, I kind of go with the flow. I'm like I said, I'm a jeans and t-shirt person, and I'm all about comfort. And I think as I've gotten older too, it's more about that than anything else. Now that I'm home working, I just wear sweatpants, and I probably look like a homeless person, but I'm comfortable. You know, the difference with going to work and looking for shoes and kind of what's in fashion, you know, at the time, different types of sandals and stuff. But yeah, working from home changed everything.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're like me. For me, it was more comfort than anything else. I had to be comfortable. And I'm a tracksuit kind of guy with t-shirts whatever my son, when he gives his clothes away, I'll just, I'll just take his clothes, and it makes me fashionable. So
that works.
Oh god. Okay. Tracy, so is there anything that you want to bring up, you know, that you want to talk about in terms of fashion and hair? Yeah, we spoke a little bit about hair. In fact, let's get your take on that. I mean, all three of us had wet looks. We said, all three of us had wet looks. What about yourself?
Well, you know, I've got that doesn't know it's black, doesn't know it's white hair. So it's kind of, you know, the whole mixture there growing up, I had it like a mini afro. My mother would always keep my hair real short and people would think I was a boy. So as I got older, I let it grow out. Got a lot of curls and again, growing up playing sports, you know, you just kind of slicked it all back and did what you had to do. Getting older, I let it grow out. My husband had the wet look. Oh, talk about mess on the pillow. But yeah, I remember all the spray. But I'm just conditioners. I just I don't know. Now I'm more natural. I used to color my hair. Now I've not. It's totally white and gray or whatever you want to call it. I think more people are going with the natural look now because of the expense and what comes with that. I used to get it straightened. But that didn't stay long because again, I live in, you know, hot weather. So the minute you sweat, it kind of, you lose that unless you're going to a special function. But growing up, I can't even, it was just natural curls. I never really did anything, you know, myself. It was just as I got older that I moved across from a hairdresser. Actually, my neighbor's a hairdresser and she has a basement and she has a little salon. She's the one that kind of got me hooked and going over to her. She would color my hair and straighten it. And again, I do that every now and again for special occasions. But right now I'm just all natural. It's just what you see is what you get kind of thing. It's grown out. I it was kind of like a bob and I've let it grow out now so I can put it in a ponytail. But again, having gray hair, you know, she's always like, you got to wear lipstick or you got to wear, you know, color on your face to kind of bring that out because she's like, you look like you're 300. So I really don't want to look that old. I don't want to look younger than I am, but I want to look my age. So, you know, but I'm done with the dyeing. That took a while. I think COVID kind of changed me in that. I just kind of let it grow out and then decided to, you know, just go with the flow. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, I mean, there is a big movement now.
And it looks great, Trey, like that.
Thank you.
Now, I mean, there's a big movement. It's been around for quite a while, going from sort of like everyone wanting to have natural hair and not put, you know, a lot of chemicals in there. So, trend. I don't know. I mean, is that still a thing? Because, I mean, I know it's probably more amongst women that would be a thing. Is that still a thing? More natural? I think it is, isn't it?
I think, especially, you know, my side of the pond, it seems, you know, especially, you know, Black and Asian and we have a lot of Hispanic people. They've just, you know, the curls are in. It was one point where everybody was, you know, going for the straight look. And yeah, the chemicals and stuff people are done with, the expense and just the time, you know, that's put in. So I'm seeing more natural looking, you know, my grandson's dad looks crazy because his hair is, it's like he just woke up and he just doesn't do anything with it. And that's the style, you know, and it drives his grandparents crazy. I've gotten used to it, but yeah, even the men, you see the basketball players, football players, you know, everybody's just, and I don't know many men that color their hair. Did you ever color your hair, Rach? I don't know.
No, I didn't. No.
But I know there are men that do that.
Yeah,
but they do it. I think there's less men do it than women, obviously.
I mean, from the man's point of view, obviously I had the wet look, and you know, as much as we said we celebrated it because, you know, the wet look was kind of a Black thing, and you know, I was proud to have that sort of style. You know, the chemicals, I just remember sitting in there and, you know, the hairdresser saying, I said, this really burns. He goes, no, it's meant to burn. That means it's working. Oh man, you know, my head was on fire. And you know, and okay, it did look good at the end, but to go, you know, to actually, you know, burn your scalp like that. For me, it just wasn't right. But we went through it, and they say, you know, no pain, no gain, and you know, in order to be fashionable, you had to go through this in order to kind of look good. And I suppose the end result was I did feel good, but you know, at the time it was, you know, getting the product and the chemicals. What was it called? Relaxer. That's it.
Relaxer.
Yeah, the relaxer in your hair and stuff like that. Yeah, burning your scalp. But yeah. I tell you what, all I can say is from a man's point of view in terms of hairstyle, I think the men's went through, obviously it was the big afro, then it went to sort of like a kind of short afro, and then when Michael Jordan came round, it was completely bald, and it was really natural. It was really, I suppose it was a craze when black men had their hair really short. We're talking about shaved, and Michael Jordan definitely popularized that. And then I want to fast forward. Then I went through a phase where I'd have the fade.
The fade.
And that probably lasted quite a long time, actually. Mm-hmm.
The fade.
So it would be high on top, and then it would be short at the back and fade and get bigger at the top. So that
almost
was
like the Kid and Play.
High top and then, but it was faded. Yeah, so that and back then, we used to cut each other's hair, so we never went to the hairdressers. We used to cut each other's hair. Never used to be great sometimes, but the more we practiced, the better our hair, hair cutting got. So we used to cut our hair. So that's me, best friend Uncle Devon, and my brother. We used to cut each other's hair. But then, sort of like fast forwarding up to now, my son and the hairstyles that the guys have got now, all natural. I don't think there's any relaxing or anything like that. There's, in the majority, there may be some guys that maybe in the fashion industry have got, get the hair relaxed and straightened and stuff like that, and maybe add a little bit of colour, but the actual hair is still natural. Is plaits. Now, back in the day when you were younger, having a plait was almost, I don't know, I didn't know many boys that would plait their hair because it would make them look like a girl. But now, having plaits and sort of like cornrow and sort of like these patterns now that they have, and sort of like, your son, he's got, what they call that style, Bissy?
Lou's got locks.
That's it, locks.
Yeah, so locks. He was inspired by Charmaine, I think. Lou's locks are quite long now.
Same with Prashan. He'll have, he'll look online and see, what sort of like hairstyle. Yeah. Footballers now.
Amazing.
Their hairstyle now is, for me, it was one of the players was Dele Alli, and my son almost followed nearly every hairstyle that he had. So footballers now are more so than actors, I think. Footballers are setting the trend for young boys.
It's fabulous, isn't it? Because not that long ago, we're probably talking about a decade, less than a decade ago. Mm-hmm. You got the odd footballer. The one was in the news, wasn't he? About that horrible David Baddiel taking the mick out of their hairstyle, out of his hairstyle, not appreciating why, he chose to have his hair in that kind of way. The name of the footballer will come to me, but it's recently come up about the fact that he did his hair. It was he was starting to locks as well. And that was being taken the mickey out of sketch as well as blackface.
So to look at
how the footballers, the younger ones coming up, have said, we are wearing and popping our styles with our hairs, with pride. We're wearing our hair with pride. Mm-hmm. It's a huge step forward, isn't it? I mean, you did get the likes of Hood Gullit.
Yeah.
Oh God! Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So you've got the likes of him, but moving on. I think the guys now, amazing. They are popping their style. And it looks good. And you're right. I think that that's another major influence, Reg, on some of the young ones. Major.
Yeah, no, for sure. And it's not just football, it's just sport in general. Like we say, that you know, the NBA players, the basketball players as well. They've got, you know, I mean, some of them, I mean, I don't know if you remember Dennis Rodman. He was I mean, he used to colour. I mean, he was probably one of the first, probably.
He didn't care.
Yeah, he did. He didn't care. I mean, he coloured his hair blonde, black, red, you know, gold. He'd have stripes in there. Yeah. He did not care.
The original,
Do you remember that, Tracy?
Yeah, way back when.
Yeah. Oh my gosh! Can I just say, apparently, just to bit of news in. Pele's pass, so may he rest.
Legend.
Talking about football,
I mean, everyone has this debate who was the greatest, but for me, it's always been Pele.
It was Pele. I mean, and Dennis Rodman was, my God, he was an original. I mean, you're talking about 25 years ago now. Someone like that to have been. A real inventor, but it's normalized now.
It is. I mean, he probably set it off, started it, but you know, the young boys and the young men, they look at these athletes now, and you know, the athletes are the ones that are setting the trends.
They are.
You're so right.
They're on telly more and everything like that. You know,
you're so right. But can I just say on that front, with regards to speaking about the different, you know, like the locks, etc. I remember there were periods, you know, growing up, whereby there were certain styles that were frowned upon. If you had like there's a way in certain parts of West Africa whereby if you put your hair in string, which is like stringing your hair, which obviously is very trendy now because Chanel's done it probably 10 years ago or whatever.
Yeah.
But you couldn't do that. And even when Lewis was at secondary school, there was quite a few young guys who were beginning to have locks and plaits, and they were told that they couldn't. So we're not talking that long ago. We're talking about in the last sort of decade. And even primary school, I remember, I won't say his name, but one a young guy who, you know, because I think young guys, when they are young, I used to plait Lewis's hair when he was young, even though his grandmother didn't like him very much, but I used to plait his hair because it used to for maintenance, really. And then you cut it at a certain age, right? But I do recall, I can't remember, there were quite punitive rules at that point. And we're not talking that long ago, because these guys now are what? Our sons are what,
24, 23, 24? Mid-20s, aren't they?
Yeah, we're not talking that long ago. So I think that's really important now, that that wouldn't be allowed now, I don't think. But I think it's important to just to mention how things have kind of resolved. I don't know if that's because of appropriation and, you know, everybody, now it's all kind of normalized to have like cane rolls, for example, everyone's got cane rolls or whatever. But I think at one point it wasn't actually okay.
Well, I tell you what, on that, I would say, and this is probably maybe a bit of a stretch, but I think that everyone, all those teachers and headmasters and all those government officials and everyone like that, they look at football and they see the football players, the black football players, and they say, okay, these young men are representing our country, and I want that they look up to them. And so when they see other boys and stuff like that with that hairstyle, it's kind of normalized, because they think, okay, well, you know, if it's good enough for I don't know, Marcus Rashford and all these other players, you see it more often. It's more normal.
You've got the flip side of that, where they will accept a celebrity looking that way, but not the kid on the street. I have a neighbor whose son had dreads, and I mean, he kept them looking nice, and they got really long, but was having a hard time finding a job. And she told them, I'm sorry, she said, but, you know, I hate that the world is the way it is, but if you want to be or get into a certain type of job or be looked upon a certain way, there's that, you know, again, it's a fine line. It's like, do I do I represent and stay who I am and be strong about it? It's not that you're not strong if you change, but you know, the way you're looked upon, the world is the world, and it doesn't matter how we feel, you know, and that hurts. But he did. He ended up cutting all his reds off and you know, kept his hair short. And I think he started growing them out again now. That was some years back. But yeah, but there was a period of time that, you know, it was just frowned upon again. You know, you're not a celebrity. You may want to be and, you know, think you're accepted because these celebrities are out there and these footballers and whatever, but it's not you. You're the everyday person that has to get out there and find somewhere to work and be accepted or just find a job that will accept you because you need to make a living. You're not, you know, you're not making money like a football player. So I hate that there's that, you know, it's horrible. But it's the world we live in.
It's the world. Sorry, Trey, can I just come in there? You've got me thinking, you might be going slightly off course here. But one of my sisters, I remember in that either the late 80s, early 90s, went to an agency to find work in the city and was specifically told that in order to get the job, her hair should be straight. That's come to my mind.
That's
we're talking, give or take, what, 25, 30 years?
Yeah, I believe it.
It's
a very, don't tell me if I can have my hair curly or straight, or, you know, I mean, but then where do you draw the line? Or is there a line that should be drawn? Or, you know, I don't know. It's to me, it's really tough when it comes to that.
Wow.
It's really difficult, that one, because in as much as I want to, I agree with everything that Tracy says, for guys in particular, and you know, where the market is already stacked against them, they will want to use young men of African Caribbean heritage, they will want to use any excuse really not to employ them. And so I can fully understand. I'm not going to be casting the first stone about, you know, your neighbor's son or whatever who decided to make the decision to cut his locks off, because I would be saying to Io, you know, until he gets into the market, he might need to think very carefully about whether being locked is going to be advantageous to him or not. Once he's in, and once he's established himself, then he can, you know, he's got all of that behind him in terms of experience and stuff. They will have to accept him as he is because he's got a credential. But when he's trying to get a foot in the market, that's what I would say to a young male of my own, you know, going forward. I mean, the other thing I was going to say is that, and as much as I really want to criticize, some of the famous female singers, you know, they're held up, and I do criticize them, but I want to criticize them more. But I also understand they are under tremendous pressure to conform. Tremendous.
Yeah.
I remember Alexander Burt.
Yeah. You
know, in an interview, saying exactly the same thing that you said, Bissy. You know, not only would they have wanted her to straighten her hair, but also to lighten her skin.
Yeah.
Come on.
Oh,
you know, I mean, when you're hearing that kind of nonsense going on, is it any wonder? And it's awful. Is it, you know, because it's so constraining and so confining when you see people like you see people like Tina Turner, Beyonce, who Michelle Obama. Let's just stop right there, because she's come out recently, hasn't she, saying this is the reason why I decided not to go natural is that people won't accept me. It's about that pressure that people feel they're under to conform, otherwise they won't get accepted. And I think it's really, really sad. I remember watching Beyonce in, I think it was in Dreamgirls. And there was a scene it's the only scene I remember because it really struck me that's her natural hair and it was covered. But she was in the dressing room, in the changing room with her other female, singers, co-stars in the film. But she had her hair covered You could tell she did not have a weave on. Do you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
But it's, she clearly, you know, despite doing that thing at the Super Bowl, very powerful, very strong song.
Mm-hmm. Militant. Mm-hmm.
About being black and all the rest of it. Mm-hmm. She didn't go that stage further, regrettably, to go au naturel. And I think it's very constraining for them not to do it. I really do, but yeah. I can understand why they don't.
Why they, yeah.
Yeah, it's yeah. A flip side. It's just horrible.
They were accepted mm-hmm. on, you know, the weave and the straightened hair. That's what they were accepted on. Yeah. And it's really sad. It's really confining.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. It's a very fine line.
Yeah, sounds like we haven't got that.
Because you're teaching your kids, you know, the same thing. You know, you want them to be able to get out there and do what they have to do, but do they have to look a certain way? They have to, you know, wear their hair a certain way. What, you know, it's yeah. Yeah.
I call it, you know, you have to play the game.
You have to play the game.
And even my son, who went for this interview with the job up in the city, and you know, for the interview, he always wears contact lenses, but for the interview, he wore his glasses. You know, he made sure his hair wasn't as, you know, fashionable. Yeah, as fashionable. It was, I don't know, it was neat, if you can say what I mean.
Yes.
Yeah? For the interview, because he was doing it over Zoom. So, but hey, now he's got in there, his hairstyle is, he can choose whatever hairstyle he wants because he's in. So unfortunately, you have to play the game. It's unfortunate. Even I'm saying it after what 40 years, we're still playing the game.
I know.
Right.
I know.
Yeah, play the game. Yeah,
and it's all over. You know, it's here in the States, yeah. Just as it is there in England.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Same game. Same game.
Yeah. But one thing I will like to talk about is, and Tracy, you mentioned about athletics, and I know for, you know, for especially for women, and I want to bring up this because this was a really hot topic at the time. And if I get the name wrong, you know who the gymnastic is. It's Simone Biles.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, obviously one of the best
gymnasts
ever.
Greatest,
you know,
she's ever.
Won yeah. Greatest yeah. ever. Mm-hmm. And do you remember when she was in the middle of winning all these gold medals and stuff like that? And it wasn't just the, I'm not sure if it was the mainstream press, but I think it was quite a lot of the black press came out and said, why didn't she tidy up her hair? Wasn't her hair?
That was, you know, that was the other gymnast. And I can see her face and I can't. Oh my gosh.
Oh, I know you mean.
It may have been Simone, but there was another one that they really picked on. Oh yeah. My God. I can see her face. She was younger.
Mm-hmm.
Gab. Oh my gosh.
It'll come to you.
Yeah, okay.
But, you know, being in tennis, same with Serena and Venus.
Yeah.
They've
exactly.
been, you know, I mean, ridiculed too. They can't, you know, again. In sports, you cannot, you know, we don't have white hair. We don't have where you can just, you know, wash and wear kind of thing. And it's all slicked back and it's a totally different texture. And they've been, you know, ridiculed even for the beads in their hair and when they first started out. And then they got to the point where they were like, I don't care. I'm going to wear the same with their outfits. I'm going to get out there and change the style of tennis, which they did amazingly. Yeah. Amazing women, both of them. You know, just changed everything about the sport.
And about how women look when they're playing sport.
Yes, everybody's not a size two with, you know, small calves and you know, no, we are, you know, voluptuous and we all have different shapes and sizes. And especially for black females to have a whole different shape, we've got, you know, different breasts, different butts, different everything, thighs and hips. So they really put out there and changed the look, you know, and really that's why you see more black kids out there on the tennis courts. You'll pass tennis courts and see, you know, because it's when I was growing up, you didn't see that.
No.
We had Zena Garrison who kind of came away. And even before her, and he was before my time. He was just going out when I was coming in. But there were no other black males, or there was Yannick Noah. Yeah, who also wore dreads, right? Yeah. He was French. Yeah. But it's Gabby somebody, and I can't remember the gymnast.
I mean, if you're talking about tennis, because I did a whole sort of like project on tennis, is there Anthea Gibson? She won I think she won Wimbledon twice or something like that. Or she was quite, but this was in the 50s, I think.
That was 50s? In the 50s, yeah.
So, yeah. But what I was going to really point on was when you do sport, you sweat. You have to wash your hair.
Yeah.
So if your hair is in, you've got a wet look or it's straightened, it's not going to survive.
Not at all.
Yeah, not, it's not going to survive. And I think that's the dilemma that, I don't know, I suppose back then women in sport had, because, you know, you in order to get sponsors and, you know, you had to look good and, you know, there was this, you know, trying to get your hair to conform to what, I don't know, the advertisers wanted, would have been a big struggle.
I don't do it anymore, but I had started running and I used to straighten my hair more for work. And by the time I finished running in the morning, I was sweated all out. So I just continued to wear it curly. It was like, forget, you know, straightening it anymore. And again, that you know, and my sister-in-law, since she was a veterinarian in upstate New York, very, you know, influential white neighborhood that she worked in, and they would invite her to pool parties. And she would constantly, you know, day she'd go, but they'd be like, well, come on in the pool. And she like, you know, I'd look like a Q-tip once I get out of there. And I don't want to be dealing with, you know, but she said they couldn't understand that. Yeah. Again, you know, it's just who you're around and who you've got. I mean, I, you know, grew up in London with everybody and anybody. So you saw everything and anything, but, you know, a lot of neighborhoods are not that way. So they just couldn't understand why she wouldn't swim. Again, you know, it's the whole athletic thing when it comes to women's hair. And a lot of them just cut their hair off and everybody's kind of gone short. I'll notice women out now who have chemotherapy where they will lose their hair and they used to wear wigs. And now I've seen a lot of bald women out there. They're just wearing it, you know, just rocking it with their earrings. And, you know, they're like, well, yeah, I'm bald and my hair will grow back. And you can see it when it's even growing back. It's real pretty. And a lot of them keep it real short. Because, you know, it's grown back now with no chemicals, not all the stuff that we put in it along the way. So I think it's almost like anything goes now.
Yeah, fortunately, I think we're getting there, but it's taken a while.
It has.
Talking about 50, 60 plus years.
Yeah.
But there's still things that do hold you. I mean, when Charmaine, when you were mentioning about you know, saying to Aya about, you know, making it first and then having his hair. In any which way, that again still does stand, it makes me think, you know, out, you know, with all of us, if we were interviewing a young person of color, black person, would we be judging if he walked in with locks? If he was walking in for an interview tomorrow, for any job in his industry, would we be saying he couldn't get that because of his locks? Because I know that it wouldn't bother me.
As long as people's hair's neat, I don't care what the style is. For me, it just needs to be neat.
What do
you mean by neat, mum?
Right. That's going to be my question. What do you mean by neat?
Yeah. Well, I know what I think is neat and tidy. You know, neat, tidy, whatever. I know what I would think is okay, neat and tidy, but, you know, my neat and tidy might be different from other people's.
Mm-hmm.
And I accept that, but I know what I would accept in terms of being neat and tidy. But one of the things that, just a slight digression, on that thing about athletes setting examples and stuff, sometimes, you know, we at home have questioned why people like Tracy, what's her last name? The boxer. What's her name?
I know who you mean.
Who picked up several golds.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Nicola Adams then.
Nicola Adams, yeah.
Nicola Adams, that's it, not Tracy. Sorry about that. Nicola Adams. Why, you know, she's got the most beautiful smile. She's really quite stunning, and very it does stunning. Make you wonder why didn't she get a contract in makeup, beauty? You know, If she was white, she would have got a contract like yesterday. But you know, I mean, if you look at, I didn't even realize actually how many awards she picked up before she retired. It's phenomenal, actually. I just thought, I didn't realize it was that many. That's all I'm saying. I just didn't realize.
She has said that she refuses to change who she is, though. She said that in that ample interviews, and there you have it. She doesn't want to be a kind of neo Beyonce or neo.
Yeah,
you don't have to be, but that's what comes to the table. Either you change who you are and we'll give you a £10 billion contract, or you don't and you remain, advertising for whatever it is you're advertising for. She has refused categorically for so many different reasons that she's going to remain who she is. That's what I hear. So she's a very beautiful
she's absolutely stunning.
And it's interesting because Lupita has actually done incredibly well. She's done incredibly well, Lupita. But I think it's slightly different in the States. I think we haven't quite, they say when America sneezes, we catch the cold. So hopefully that will come in the next 10 years. So hopefully, fingers crossed. But Lupita's, it's a different level. You know, when you think how big, I mean, Lupita's big. Nicola, she'll get there eventually if she wants to. But the UK is not about that now. No. You have to fit into this mold.
What's his name? Vogue then doesn't promote someone.
I've got to give it to Edward. He's trying. I think he's trying. I think he's up against a lot. And in all fairness to him, I think he's done a lot.
Yeah. I think he's come a long way. But someone like him picking up someone like Nicola, to do the odd fashion shoot, just like because it is stunning when you look at. There's occasion we've got the Times, and you look at the various fashion shoots, and you see Lupita in there in all her naturalness, and she doesn't give a monkeys, amongst all the others, Beyonce and all the other white ones, Kate Blanchett and all the rest of them, and she does. It's beautiful just seeing her in her naturalness. It's a shame that Edward doesn't pick somebody like her, because when you think about her. When you think about Nicola, you think, what a stunning woman.
Yeah, it's coming. Like I say, America sneezes, we will catch the cold eventually. I hope.
She's retired.
It's tiring, but we'll get there in the end. Oh, gosh, God, that was a digress.
Yeah. I think we know that when we talk about sort of like black hair, there's a whole historically there's a whole rabbit hole that we can go down just on that maybe we could leave that for another conversation. Okay, so in terms of fashion, I mean obviously fashion is is many things, and obviously hair is one thing that defines people, really, doesn't it?
Yes.
I mean, it's sort of like a it's a big thing, and it can get you an interview and it can get you slung out. it can make you supposedly look pretty or handsome, or it can make you it can really change the dynamic of your face and stuff like that.
Yes. So your hair is your beauty.
Crown.
Okay. Okay. So, is there anything else that anyone wants to bring up in terms of sort of like hair and fashion, and maybe the future of fashion? In fact, any ideas of what you see in your children, and how it's going to be going forward?
I think it's kind of wild. My daughter wears the big eyelashes. In fact, she had left some on the table the other day, and I went and got a shoe because I thought it was a spider, and I was going to hit it with my shoe. And she, again, just out there, the long nails, the eyelashes, the hair, just with girls, I think it's here to stay. You know, I don't think there's any coming back from it makes them feel good. If it may, you know, because I'm not that way. She's nothing like me. I mean, I, you know, wear very little fake anything, probably some lipstick and that's it. But girls going forward, I think it's, you know, sky's the limit. With boys, I don't know. I've got a grandson who's a year and a half. Like, Lord knows what he's gonna, you know. yeah, it's just a little scary, but don't really know.
Okay. What about you, Bliss?
Do you think it's that different, much different from when we were younger, though? I think what you just said in terms of caught, you know, with the spider and the eyelashes, I don't think there's much of a difference. I just think that obviously, you know, they come back and they want to shock us. I know that Libby comes back with certain things and I'm just like, okay, that's great. And she's thinking, right, is that all you're going to say? And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. I think that they'll, you know, they'll step out the boundaries slightly and then they'll kind of come back again. And yeah, that's what I think. It's just a phase. Yeah. A lot of it is just a phase.
It is.
I'm finding that a lot of her friends, it's all about natural hair. They will get their plaits done. I mean, Libby's just, you know, she's like a sort of like a miniature Lauryn Hill with a little box plaits. Oh. It's all about that now, and it has been for a long time.
Long time, yeah.
And then she said, "Mum, after this, I can't afford it now. You know, I'm a student. I'll just have it. I'll just have it natural for a bit," which is, you know. So I think, yeah, they'll have their little kind of things that we had. I didn't really have that many, but I mean, I know my sisters did. But and then they'll just kind of like conform as we all do. Not conform, but you know, they'll have their own little traits, but they.
I think they've got the piercings and the tattoos. That's a lot more.
Yeah, I've got that. Yeah, all that's been done, and it's like, yeah, okay, wow, well, you know, been there, done that. So, and I think with Lou, just the locks. Really, he's got the locks, and he's very much into, you know, dressing in a certain way. But yeah, just generally, I think it all kind of mellows down. Personally, you know.
Yeah, I was saying, I think with Lou as well, there's the skateboard scene, which has its own sort of you know, has its own sort of like fashion as well. So
I mean, it's sort of been to that since he was about 14. So he's been saying, "Mum, I'm too old for that now." So you know what I mean. So can I just say really quickly on before you say something, Charmaine? I was just thinking about the coming from a West African background in terms of fashion, it just got me thinking about, you know, African clothing and African cloth. And the only time that we kind of do get dressed up in African outfits, if at all, is when you're getting married or when you're getting christened and everyone wears the same thing, which I think now I feel is a bit of a shame. I remember the last time that I went out looking for an African outfit was with dear Charmaine. She was looking, we were looking for something for a wedding. But I just think that I don't really want to lose sight of that as well. You don't have to, but you know, I just think that it's something that I don't want to lose. Do you know what I mean? There's a way of dressing when you get married or when there's a big event called Ashobi, which is where everybody wears exactly the same material. And in terms of fashion, the only time it makes an appearance is when, you know, Chanel or Lagerfeld's doing it. And it's like, oh, wow, you know, something ethnic, in quotes. And I just think that it would be nice to kind of introduce that in whatever we can to our children personally. That's
culture.
She says being so European for the last 55 years. But, you know, it just came to mind. Yeah, and that event at Buck's Palace not so long ago when she got dressed up, and I don't want to get into the political side of that, but she had an outfit on and the woman came to her and said, well, you know, where are you from? Because she had this outfit on and you can wear that all the time. But yeah, just thought I'd bring that up. Sorry, Charmaine.
Well, I can remember, I mean, it may be that it's when people occasions like weddings, but I do remember thinking at a wedding I went to some years ago, and it was Clive's cousin, who's of mixed heritage, so mother's white English, father is of Yeah, Jamaican. Father Jamaican, born in Jamaica, but sort of grew up here. Came over here as a young man. And then she married a Nigerian guy. And I would have to say, at that wedding, the Nigerian contingent just outdressed us. And then some. They looked absolutely stunning. And the European outfits just didn't really drowned. Cut it because I was concerned. You know, I want to dress like that with my white headgear and the white all. It was absolutely gorgeous. So it may just be for special occasions, but wow, doesn't it look amazing?
Yeah.
Honestly, knockout.
Lest us not forget.
When I got married, obviously my wife wore a Indian sari, but an Indian outfit, and I wore a Nigerian outfit for when I got married, because I just felt that, I don't think I've ever worn that again since then, but at least for the wedding photographs, they're going to be there for years and years to
yeah.
come.
Yeah,
it was traditional, so I think even when I go to Sierra Leone and do's now, I don't know if you went there, but I don't know the last time you went to anyone, Bissy, but recently, but
long time.
I mean, I don't wear any African outfit at all. How about you?
For my second outfit on my window, we all wore the same. And I'm really glad. And even Lewis had a little outfit as well, which was great. And I'm glad that we actually did that, if I'm honest. I really did enjoy that. If, you know, when I do start, when us girls start raving again, girls, hear me? Hear me now? Hopefully, 56th or 57th birthday. I do want to have an event whereby, you know, we all wear our an outfit and some kind of African outfit.
Yes.
I think that would be whatever. Yeah, I think that would be really nice. You can just get made down by flipping East Dulwich and stuff. Pop down and go down to Peckham.
I am fit. I used to wear it all the time.
When Aya got christened, you know, so just go down to Peckham or whatever. You know, I think that'd be nice because I mean, that's my stuff. And maybe it's just I feel quite, there's a certain amount of guilt that I've just kind of, and it's all very well becoming quite anglicized, but never really, you know, I'm going out and I'm buying all these clothes. But there's, can you imagine if, I don't know, who's the latest Hollywood star now? I don't know. Let's say, you said Kate Blanchett down the aisle in some, you know, Kente cloth. It'll be like, oh, wow.
I'd like to see that.
Well, when the children are babies, and then you've got like my mum used to carry the children with a cloth around. I used to think, how the hell do you do that? You tie the cloth round, you know, and that now is some kind of high fashion thing. So we should be owning these things a bit more.
Yeah.
And we tend not to. We wait, and then we kind of, we've been doing that for the last 10,000 years. Just thought I'd put that one in.
Okay, cool. Okay. Well, thanks a lot, ladies.
Hang on. My thing, didn't I?
Oh, yeah, sorry, yeah, go on.
Sorry. And then Tracy, yeah, you've got to do yours as well. Go on.
Item of clothing that we think we've bought this year where we thought, yes, that's a banger.
I like the accent.
terrible accent. Yes,
that's a banger. That sounds Irish.
So yeah, one outfit, one item of clothing.
Trey, you go first. One item of clothing you bought that you think, yeah, that's I've nailed it this year.
All right. Well, I happened. This was a few weeks ago. I happened to be browsing the internet because I've got a friend who is really good at knitting. She's really, she's very good at knitting, actually. And she lent me her, she gave me her an Aran cardigan a few years ago, which I absolutely, she used to sort of wear it around the house and stuff. And I inherited it because I really liked it and lusted after it. So she gave it to me and I wore it to death, to the point where it was falling off me, holes everywhere. So I've been looking at, I've been looking to replace it. I've been looking over the last few years, and my go-to is eBay. So I've been looking on eBay to replace this Aran cardigan. Well, a few weeks ago, I was on eBay and I came across this cardigan, an Aran cardigan. I thought, oh, this looks quite nice, actually. And it was going for something like, it was 15, but, you know, that was like starting bids. So I thought, right, okay, well, what I'm going to do is I'm not going to go in now. I will go in on the day when it's, you know, to almost to the last 15 minutes of when the bid is due to close, when the bidding's due to close. So I made a note of it and thought, right, it's going to be next, you know, a week's time. And thought nothing of it. Well, later on that day, because this was early in the morning that I was on the thing, later on that day, I went on the internet and I thought, well, let me just have a look and see something. And I noticed that the bid had closed. I'd got the dates wrong. Mm-hmm. I didn't realise the bidding was closed that day. I got my dates complete. I was a week out. So I thought, oh, gosh, it's only just closed. And it was closed and not sold.
Ooh.
So I thought, now that's interesting, it's not closed. I thought, well, let me just write to the owner and say, look, you know, I've noticed that this didn't sell. Have you still got it? So he wrote back and said, it wasn't sold. And yes, I've still got it. I said, well, you know, how much is it going for? How much are you going for? He said, well, someone offered me £10 more. For the, you know, than the closing bid, which it was about 15 at the time or something. But he said, somebody offered me 10. He said, if you can offer me more than that, then I'll sell it to you by putting it back on eBay, but putting it as a, you can get an option where you can buy it.
Yeah,
you can buy it straight away rather than having to bid for it. Mm. So I said, okay, then. I said, okay, then. I think I told him I was going to offer him maybe a couple of quid more. He said, fine. So he put it on, and within 15 minutes, he put it on. He told me the listing number. I got the listing number, got the item, ordered the item, and it came within a few days. And when I got it, I was shocked at how beautiful it was. It was utterly stunning. Really, I thought it was going to be not exactly flimsy, but it's incredibly good quality. However much I pay for it, I don't care, because actually it was well worth it.
Nice.
So that is my little bargain.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Oh, I really don't have anything. So I just let Charmaine know that when my mother was alive, she used to knit, and she made me the same cardigan, same type I cardigan remember. That I have today. Yeah,
I remember. Yeah.
She loved
you and Mandy.
She would have knit Charmaine one if she was still.
Yeah,
here. She would have done. That's a story. Yeah. That is so yeah. Nice. No, I don't have anything to offer. I just I buy leggings throughout the year just to be comfortable at home. So I don't have any good stories. Not this year, anyway. Maybe next year I'll have something, but. Yeah, that's me.
Can I just follow on from what Charmaine was saying and you, Tracy? Because I remember Auntie Pat used to make, Mandy's mum used to make these soldiers and blankets for the children.
Yes.
And she used to make the most amazing, Charmaine, you'd have loved them. That sounds like your cardigan, actually, but used to make them from scratch. So Tracy and Mandy used to have the best cardigans.
Wow.
And jumpers, and she would also make them for the children when they were born, not cardigans, but blankets. Still have them. They were amazing.
A gift.
May she rest. For me this year, I don't, as I say to you, Charmaine, and you, Trey, there's nothing that I really need. I'm not saying it because I have everything, but I just don't need anything in terms of buying. Right. But the one thing that I did want to get, I've got Converses that I've had for about 6-7 years. And like Charmaine said, whenever we buy things as we get older, we buy one or two. So I've got different colours of them. But the one colour I really wanted was red. Oh. So that's the one thing that I bought this year. A pair of red Converses, and I wore them out this summer on a really hot, beautiful day. Myself and Akua went to the Regent's Park, and I had red lipstick and my red Converse. I look absolutely fabulous, actually. I look great.
Very nice.
So that was my big buy, and that was all I needed, really.
It made you happy.
Made me very happy. Yeah, yeah. And yep. I'll have them for the next 10 years, God be willing.
Okay, cool. Yeah, for me, it was one of these fedora hats. It's a white one, and obviously with the summer that we had, it fitted in nicely, and it's sort of like got little palm trees on them, so it looks like it's nice. You could wear it in Hawaii or stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I wore that whilst I was doing some juggling workshops and stuff like that, and it just really fitted the, you know, it was outdoors, it was out on the grass, you know, it was really nice. And I would say, yeah, and everyone said, oh, that's a nice hat, because it was unusual, because very, very few people wear those types of hats. So yeah. I would say, I think I actually bought that last year, and I only started wearing it this year because we had such an amazing summer.
Yeah, we did.
And it's kind of got a jazz kind of feel to it as well. That's what I liked. I love that. Yeah.
Go with
yeah.
that.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
I nailed it, item. I like that.
Yeah.
I nailed it, item.
Feels good.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, guys.
Okay, ladies, the band will return again soon with another topic. Not sure what it's going to be and when, but I'm sure the band will get back together again. Yeah. So, Charmaine, Bissy, Tracy, thanks a lot for coming back.
Okay, thank you, Red.
Really, really enjoyed it.
Thanks, Red.
Thank you. Take care. Be safe.
Bye. Take care. Thank you.